listening to Fox Sports Radio. This is Straight Outta Vegas. With the voice of Vegas, your host, RJ Bell. The pregame show America has always wanted. I doubt the future. I doubt the future. From the Vegas Strip, here's RJ Bell.
You heard it. I'm RJ live from Las Vegas on Monday on 200 Fox Sports Radio stations across this great nation. Almost as if a gift from above, we've got so much good, interesting sports stuff to talk about, obviously, and it bears repeating a very difficult time across the country, and hopefully you can have an escape, talk about some sports, debate who's the best players of the last decade or so. That was a gift, and, you know, obviously with reverence for what's going on. Speaking of that, we got Steve Fezzik. Let's get an update. He's one of the pros. Who knows? He has a mansion and a yacht. First off, Steve, you're behind the walls of wealth. You're hunkered down. How many times did you venture out from behind the gates this weekend?
Once, RJ. I made the bad choice to climb Black Mountain in Henderson. It's 5,000-foot elevation. I'm glad you're not able to see me now because I look like I've been through a war.
So your wife said, hey, it's getting we're getting cooped up in here. So you packed up. What car did you take, the Mercedes or the BMW?
We took the Mercedes. My wife had no problem. She finished it an hour before I did, and she was walking back to call search and rescue.
Whoa. So you went up together and then immediately separated?
Halfway down, she said, you know what? This is not happening. RJ, if you want to see me with my walking stick trying to boulder down the first third of this hike, you would have been laughing your butt off.
Now, a walking stick. Now, I'm not a big hiker. Is that normal? Is that like most people have one, or is that for the elderly?
It's more for the elderly. I'd say the majority of the elderly over age 50 use walking sticks, yeah.
Over age 50? I mean, Tom Brady's almost 50. I mean, I think you're being a little easy on yourself. This is why we have a podcast. There's certain things we just don't have the time to dig into. This should be dug into. How did it feel? Now, there was one of two possibilities when she jetted off ahead. Number one was, holy crap, I didn't want to come here to start with it. She won't even hang. And then number two is, whew, I don't have to try to keep going as fast as I can because it's not working and it's still straight in me. I can mosey on in. Which of the emotions was it?
I think she was neither. She was embarrassed because we had a group pass us on the way down and she was not happy about that.
Oh, as if there couldn't possibly be a group that could pass you? Like, you guys are the pace setters.
Group.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, Jonas, you got to have a question. Do you have a question? You want to jump in with a question?
Yeah, was there money on the line? Like, Fez, did you
Well,
you
if half the money in the divorce is part of it, yes.
I mean, I'm just wondering, like, did you take a dive, Fez, and maybe you had money on her and she didn't know about it and you were kind of, you know, playing both sides here? What happened?
No, I was just on the wrong side of two bills trying to climb a mountain, Jonas, and let me tell you, it was a struggle.
And remember, let's keep something in mind here. There was money at stake because a divorce would cost them half. Right? So, I mean, yes. So, all right. Now, question two, I think probably not because it sounds like question one precludes it, but did you finally get your go back? Because the feedback that I got was, I can't believe Fezzik doesn't have a go bag. Now, what's a go bag? Is when you're a guy like Fezzik, hey, he tries to be as honest as a gambling man can be, but come on now. There might be an indictment come. You got to be ready to lamb it, as they say. Fez, Any go bag yet, or you still don't have one?
There's no go bag because there's nowhere to go, RJ. Who's going to take me in these times?
Well, I don't think it's like Hyman Roth getting, you know, Israel to take him in or whatever, and Godfather 2. I mean, I think it's more you're just going to go into hiding. You're going to shave the pompadour. You've got the cash. You got the, you know, like Tony Soprano with Spears was his last name when he, you know, was on the lam. I don't know. I just know a lot of people said, I got to go back. How doesn't, meaning they do, how doesn't Fezzik? It kind of reminds me, to be honest, of when Deadwood was on and they depicted Wild Bill Hickok getting shot in the back, right? Which is the famous, he had his back to the door. He had aces and eights, the dead man's hand. Deadwood, great show. Maybe, you know, one of the best of all time, no doubt, on HBO way back when, is on the forums, everyone would say, well, even I won't play cards with my back to the door. Like, so, while Bill was doing it, but somehow this guy in, you know, Tucson doesn't. Fez, they're saying, I got to go back, and Fez doesn't. I think you got such an elaborate out that you don't even want to talk about it. But that's just my personal thought. We heard from him, and I should tell Jonas, I have found this weekend, or not the weekend, I'm sorry, the Odd Couple, I found another big section of the show that you guys were debating. You and Rob were debating the extended NFL playoffs, which I hadn't heard. And Rob was making my exact arguments. And at one point he said, Jonas, you're better than that. And it just struck me, he's right. Yeah. That you and I disagree. Now, at any point, have you swayed at all, or you're still behind? You're still behind seven teams in the AFC, seven in the NFC.
Oh no, there's no swaying here. I am I'm looking forward to it, and when everybody is complaining about all this, I want to see all these complaints come front and center when we've got back to back triple headers in January in playoff games.
Boy, I hope you don't get the flu or something for that, because I mean, you are so anxious for those triple headers. Headers.
I can't wait.
And I mean, like, you would have missed Duck Hodges this year in one of those, but he is Jonas Knox.
Always good to be here, RJ. And yes, on a day in which we've got golf moving around, major championships, a rescheduling and a redoing of a UFC fight coming up in a couple of weeks. What is the Vegas lead here on a Monday?
Obviously, it's NBA 2K. No, I'm joking. though, let's be honest. If I would have told you 10 years ago, so 2010, I think it would be, that in 10 years that we'd be watching SportsCenter and we'd be watching Kevin Durant playing a video game and there'd be an extended highlight package. Could you have fathomed that?
I mean, I couldn't fathom that I was going to bet on 13 matches at WrestleMania this weekend, but I did. So,
well, now that brings up an interesting point. One best bet was out there.
It was.
Easy winner.
Yes.
RJ raises his hand. Did you bet? How many bets did you make, and was my best bet one of them?
I did 13 bets. I went 9-4, and I think I made about $15.
Okay, but yeah. You're avoiding the question.
No, I went the opposite.
You're kidding me.
I went the opposite, yeah.
Because what would you say my record is on best bets on this show?
Okay, but
what would you say?
It's a very high percentage, but people need to understand that I learned early on, anytime you guys had a bet going on in the show and you asked me who I agreed with, whoever I agreed with or sided with, you guys always felt nauseous afterwards because you realized being paired with me when handicapping a game is not a good place to be. So I, out of the goodness of my heart, being the unselfish guy that I am, went the opposite of you, knowing that it was going to create a win for you, and I took the loss on the chin.
What I would say is this, is if your opinion, if you're backing it because of your opinion, it does probably mean it's a little squarish. Like, you got the sports fan's perspective, which is, I think you have great insight, but it's from a sports fan, not a bettor. And remember, half our audience doesn't even bet. They just want to know how the wise guys think, the way the wise guys think. But if you don't have any real opinion and you're just tailing it, you're not like a jinx. It's just I don't want your to be on your side if you're thinking it through with a handicap. But if you're just tailing it, go for it, buddy. I trust that you live a good life, and the karma will at worst be neutral. Is what I'm thinking. I think it might be positive.
I mean, listen, you picked a winner. It was Drew McIntyre. I was on the square side. I took Brock Lesnar. You got the win, but I'm okay with my 9-4 record.
Let's just say this: if you took all the people in the world that bet on Brock Lesnar and put him in one stadium, and all the people that bet on McIntyre in the other, let's just say you'd get more sleep in the McIntyre side. There'd be like a lot of fights, a lot of eating like a lot of raw meat over with you.
Yes.
And the Brock side. Yeah. So to me, I think unequivocally, like I said, as a gift from above, the Vegas lead here is the all-decade team in the NFL, because we get to now debate, talk radio style, the omissions, who should have been, you know, who should have had a perfect score, all of it.
Yeah, and that's right. The NFL came out with their all-decades team from the 2010s. Atop the list on the offensive side was Tom Brady. Over on the defensive line, defensive side, J.J. Watt and Aaron Donald, amongst unanimous selections as voted on by the NFL.
By the way, at the end of the show, during the pick segment, we will have odds on the 2K NBA. Actually, it's true. There's odds on it, and we'll have them. We just won't do highlights. I mean, let's start this. I think that the whole omission, like who was left off and then who shouldn't have made it, is something we should look at with the perfect eight. Because there's just so, you know, there's so many people. I think they went too deep in every position. You know, who is the 49th person that should have been on, you know, whatever. I'm not sure that's as important, though. If you guys have that, I'm fine with it. But the eight I find to be very interesting and where I got some major disagreements. So those eight, do you have the perfect list in front of you, Jonas?
You mean the unanimous selections?
Yeah.
Tom Brady, Adrian Peterson, Joe Thomas, offensive tackle, Marshall Yanda. On the defensive side, J.J. Watt, Aaron Donald, Von Miller, and then special teamer Justin Tucker, the kicker from the Ravens. Those were all unanimous selections.
Okay, so we're going to talk about Drew Brees. That's the obvious one. He didn't make any of the list. Let's set that aside for a second. Also, we're going to talk about, I find it interesting, if you actually look with the whole Peyton Manning debate, it's very clear. We'll talk about that. But first, though, and we'll do one now and one after the break. So, Jonas, if you've got one, or Fez, whoever's stronger with your opinion, say, it's me, baby, is amongst the eight, I'm going to call them the perfect eight, is they got every vote, is, now you might say, well, there's another word for that, but yeah, but I like to, you know, do my personal branding. And on the perfect eight, who should have made it that didn't? And who made it that shouldn't have? Does anything jump out at you, Fez?
I don't understand how you can have a kicker be in the top eight. So
what do you mean? Well, hold on a second. Hold on.
I got to take it.
Hold on. What does the perfect eight mean? It means that there wasn't a dissenting vote. That the question was, who was the best two kickers? Because they were going too deep. And no one thought that Gronkowski wasn't one of the two best, or wasn't one of the two best kickers. That means something. It doesn't mean the kicker position is all that impactful or whatever. It means it's undebatable, like on Seinfeld. It's beyond debate that he should be on the list. How couldn't he be on the list?
And I actually think with how much difficult they've made the kicking position in the NFL, the fact that Justin Tucker is still as good as he is, I have no issue with him being unanimous.
Oh, and again, Tucker being the on the perfect eight with that. Yes, thank you for that. That was very smooth, Jonas. I made a mistake, and you just kind of corrected it without correcting it. Oh man, that's professional level stuff there. I love it. So, but yes, and I do think that anyone that knows about special teams playing the NFL will often say, well, you know, kickers come and go. Well, except for Tucker. I mean, it's not only he's so accurate, but the distance that he can be accurate at.
Yeah.
And we all know that some the games swing on that 4th and 4. You know, when you're on the 34-yard line, you know, 4th and 4 from the 34, do you punt? You see him punt sometimes. And is there anything more demoralizing than punting there and it going out of the end zone? Right?
Oh, yeah.
And you miss the field goal. As Lombardi says, it's like a turnover. I mean, man, a guy like Tucker that's going to drill it, it means a lot. I mean, Fez, for a guy that likes to talk decimal points, wouldn't you say Tucker is extremely valuable?
Yeah, it's a great point. And also, if you have 3rd and 10 from the 37, a lot of other teams are like, oh, we got to pick up 6 or 7 yards to get our 3. If you got Justin Tucker and you're Baltimore, you can go for the first down.
That's an interesting point. I mean, there's just so many ways. And it's almost like the guy's from a different planet. I mean, it's not that he has one good season. Like, he never seems to be off.
And he's kicking outdoors. He's kicking in difficult environments, whether it's, you know, Heinz Field or outdoors in Baltimore. Like, you know, the AFC North, there are no dome stadiums in that division. So he's dealing with the elements almost every single time he goes out.
All right, we're going to take our break. When we come back, we're going to get the biggest, you know, these guys, it's funny, for industry in which the hot takes and the lists and all the things that make talk radio, we got two guys on the show, and Jonas every day, Fest 3 days a week, that hate the tropes of talk radio. But I am going to force them to at least give me one person that wasn't on the perfect eight that should have been, or someone that was that shouldn't have been. It's a forced pick next.
That's coming up next. But first, Straight Out of Vegas is brought to you by AutoZone. AutoZone has more ways for you to get what you need when you need it. With their free same-day store pickup, you can place your order online and grab what you need today at more than 5,600 AutoZone locations. Get in the zone. AutoZone. I'm Jonas Knox. He's RJ Bell, and this is the pregame show you've always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight out of Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Out of Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
I'm RJ Bell. We are Straight Out of Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of You, the Fan, coming up here in just a couple of moments. We will talk snubs on the NFL's All-Decade Team.
Yeah, thank you for joining us. We know it's a difficult time in the country, and I think we should all feel good that, for the most part, we're all working together, and that's a wonderful thing. And if Fox Sports Radio can take your mind off it for a little while, all the better. You're listening to the fastest growing show on Fox Sports Radio, Straight Out of Vegas. Our audience has more than doubled in the last year alone. And why? Because of you. Thank you so much. And if you have any friends, this is the time they might want to consider a new show. Remember, half of our audience doesn't even bet. They just want to know the way the wise guys think about things. And we give you that every weekday. And you can listen on those 200-plus FSR stations from coast to coast. Right now here in Las Vegas, 66 degrees, and the neon is still off.
So, RJ, the NFL came out with their all-decade team from the 2010s earlier today, and there were a couple of snubs that have been brought up, one of those being Drew Brees at the quarterback position.
Yeah, see, you're trying right now to delay for time. I'm not having any of it. Yeah, we'll talk about Brees in a couple minutes. This is a forced hot take, is amongst the perfect eight, as I like to call them. Jonas, I'm starting with you. You're a talk radio host. Start acting like it. Give me a hot take. Who doesn't belong on the perfect eight list?
I'm not so much going to talk about who doesn't belong, but one guy that I think should have been unanimous is Rob Gronkowski.
Okay, so
I think Gronk has shown enough at all different levels at every single stage, and I just wonder if him not playing this past year is maybe what slided him towards not being unanimous. But I would put Gronk as a unanimous selection.
And remember now, the 10-year span is so key. So yeah. Imagine someone who started in 2005, played 10 years to 2015. Does he make the all 2000s team? Probably, unless he's world class, like the next level, no. Does he make the 10s team? Probably not. So Gronk missing a year, yeah, but boy, his career pretty much spanned a decade.
Yeah.
So
started in 2010, final season.
Yeah. Out of 10 years he played.
Yeah.
So to me, that really speaks to the idea that there's just a certain contingent of old school journalists that if you are, you know, shenanigans, tomfoolery, whatever you want to call it, Gronk was a modern player when it came to being off the field. And I think that all it takes is one. I mean, think about it. Jeter didn't get the, you know, perfect score when it came to the Hall of Fame. I mean, it's one of those things that I think sports journalists by their nature are often contrarian. They often are like, everyone's going one way, I want to go the other. And I think they're old school too. And maybe those guys are, you know, retiring away. But there's I think there were 40-some voters in this, right?
So all yeah, it sounds about right. Yeah.
All it took was one old school guy saying, don't like the way he is with X or Y, you know, whatever, drinking, whatever it is. And all of a sudden now it's 47 or 48. So it feels explainable, though I agree he should be on the list.
And here's the other thing. We talk about LeBron James, and when they point to LeBron James's greatness, they talk about all the playoff games that he's been in. He's had 239 playoff games. So in essence, he's played three extra seasons on top of his regular season. If you were to apply the same sort of rationale to Gronk, he started 16 playoff games in his career. He's got over 80 catches, over 1,100 yards and 12 touchdowns, and that's just in the postseason. How he's not unanimous, I don't understand.
Oh, my God. It's like you did research or something. I mean, how did you get that information?
I figured, you know, why not prep for once?
I mean, you're not going to the gym, so you might as well spend the time on something. I mean, you can't do the jailhouse workout nonstop, right?
You can't.
That's Jonas Knox. I'm RJ Bell. We are straight out of Vegas. So Gronk should be on the perfect day. I tend to agree. I think we understand why he wasn't. Steve Fezzik, he's a better, but doesn't mean he's not a media guy. Fez, who do you got? You on with us, Fezzy?
Yes, Adrian Peterson does not belong on the top eight list. RJ, of low average running back since the year 2014. He basically missed the 2014 and 2016 years where he was injured, only played four games, got less than 100 yards both years, and he's averaged only 4 yards per carry since the year 2014.
Ooh.
Wow.
You know something? It's funny because you remember AP blew out his knee. He was the first guy to come back from that level injury as quick as he did. And I'm sure you remember that, Jonas.
Yeah.
So in a way, the fact he missed most of the season almost gets mitigated by the fact he came back so fast, at least in people's memories. But it doesn't change that he missed that season. I didn't remember that he missed that 16-year you're saying, Fez, how many carries did he have that year? If you can look it up.
Yeah, 37 carries, 72 yards.
On the whole season?
Yes, 1.9 yards per carry and then was injured. Missed the year with Minnesota.
Let's agree to this, that from 17 on, so 17, 18, 19, he's exceeded your expectations.
Yeah, possibly this might be a vendetta I have against him because somehow he's beaten me on individual bets. Whenever I play this dude under, he finds miracles to be able to go over by like 2 yards. But 3.5, 4.2, and 4.3 yards per carry.
At least you don't make it all about you. Right?
And put that in perspective, the NFL average is 4.3 for running backs.
You know, I won't name this because it's kind of a competitor and I'm not going to, you know, I just don't want to bash, but there was a dude, you know, and I can't even remember what the event was, but it was like one of the biggest events of the year about a year ago. And he was saying, oh, well, you know, I remember it was this personal thing and it really wasn't personal. You know, it shouldn't have been personal. You know, it's almost like, you know, JFK got shot. It's like, you know, I saw him once in Wheeling, West Virginia. It's like, that isn't the time to say that, right? It's about him, you know. So Fez, though, it's always about some bet he lost 4 years ago. He can't remember. The joke at the beginning of the show was it took him three tries to figure out if he had a Mercedes or a BMW. So I said, did you take the Mercedes or BMW? Is he can remember every little $300 prop bet he lost, but he can't remember that, Fez. Has any doctor ever figured this out?
Rain Man Syndrome.
That's Fezzik. We're straight out of Vegas. Okay. I think he's making a great point there, Jonas. The reality is it's back to the whole decade thing. Now, if I remember about AP, I mean, I think it was like 2006 or something, right? So if you would have taken like, you know, his 10 year best 10 He's one of the top five backs of all time, wouldn't you say, Fez, during his best 10 years?
Yeah, you're spot on, RJ. 2007 through 2009, he was the elite, the best running back, racked up, looks like about 5,000 yards in those first 3 years, but that wasn't the decade we're talking about.
No, I agree. It's all about the decade. So I'm going to give what are you laughing at, Jones?
It just, like, when you just, you know, wipe away all of it, you just, you know, spread away, you know, dust the leaves aside and just, you know, take the broom out. Right when you get to the crux of it all, it's because Adrian Peterson has screwed Fez on a bet.
Listen, here's the thing that we all have to accept as you get older, and you're getting to be the age now that you realize that you are who you're going to be, is you tell me if you're not in certain moments that, you know, it might be like, for me, it's this is going to sound very weird, all right? But they say in radio, you should talk about the personal, right? But you shouldn't talk about the private. Private should be private. Personal, though, is coming from the heart. This is personal, but it's going to sound private, but it's not. When I go to a public restroom, and occasionally there's just no choice, you have to, let's say, take a seat. Let's just call it that, right? When I'm sitting in that enclosed area, I have a feeling like that I'm like when I was a kid, and you know, like you'd be with your mom, you'd be six or seven, you go in the back and you sit. I had this feeling like, you know, it's peaceful in here. And I had the same feeling now that I did then. And I think there's so many feelings, and you can tell me, Jonas, you want to leave me out here hanging, that's fine. Is you can tell me, aren't there like many times, if it's like, should I get that next piece of pizza? Yeah. You know, like we all have these cycles that really were the same way we were when we were 10 years old in many ways, wouldn't you say?
Yeah. I mean, I don't really do it on the toilet.
Well,
but
again,
that's the
personal part, Jonas.
Yeah.
Now we're going to the universal at this point. Go ahead. So
yeah.
give me an example.
Of just, you know, reverting back to who I was as a child.
Or really, you never were anything but that. It's just it reminds you. Because what I can tell you for sure is Fez was grousing about a lost bet, something when he was a kid. And on his deathbed, he's going to be thinking about, you know, if we would have just got that other insurance, I'd be more comfortable right now. Like, there's something, a move he made, he's going to be lamenting in the last 20 minutes of his life. Fez, true or false?
It's true, and I did lose the bet on the drive. I had Cleveland in that game against Denver.
So, Jonas, give us an example. I know you don't like to share too much.
I mean, there's a picture. It's around the house somewhere where I'm out. My mom had a little garden in the backyard. I'm out in the garden, and I'm picking bell peppers off the plant and eating them raw. To this day, I still eat bell peppers raw.
But it's more than bell peppers, though. It's saying that you're not really worried about all the pomp and circumstance. You're not worried about convention. And you have an inclination, like something with the earth in your body. Where you're very, it's weird. You don't strike me. I don't know anything about your religious beliefs or whatever. But you seem like a very, like spiritual person without organized religion, is my guess.
Yeah. I mean, you know, yeah. The fiance is Catholic. Very, very much into it. And I grew up that way as well, too. Not as into it as she is, but yeah, no, there's definitely something to it.
But you're not one of these dudes that's completely oblivious to that side of your soul, your heart.
No.
You feel it.
See, no.
Now, we never have discussed that, have we?
No.
And I've only listened to so many of your Rob Parker shows, so I mean, I don't really know. So, don't you see where that person, as a kid, eating from the earth without the, I mean, it feels like something that all is in the circle.
Yeah, no, yeah. I think there's something to it. You look back to your past to see what the future might hold.
So when the sports is all done with me, you know, and I got the big pile of money, then I might do one of these like AM shows, you know, like in like syndicate myself into three markets, maybe Reno, Fresno, and Vegas, and then just who knows what, right? Talk spirituality. It'd be like the what was that dude's name? His last name was Bell. The Allen, the dude that was the. He was big in conspiracy theories, right?
Oh.
He was on, like, late night. He was out of Nevada, actually.
Art Bell?
Art Bell,
it. Yeah, credit to John. I didn't know. John Ramos is a big Art Bell
fan.
Oh,
well, when you're a bored guy like Ramos, you know he was probably listening to him on the commercials or whatever way back when. So, yeah, he had a huge following, no doubt. I'm going to give you not one but two mistakes, I think, on the perfect day.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
Straight Outta Vegas here on Fox Sports Radio. Coming up 10 minutes from now here on FSR, we will continue the NFL discussion right here on Fox Sports Radio. Want to let you know we are brought to you by AutoZone. AutoZone has more ways for you to get what you need when you need it with their free same-day store pickup. You can place your order online and grab what you need today at more than 5,600 AutoZone locations. Get in the zone. AutoZone, I'm Jonas Knox, voice of you, the fan. He's the voice of Vegas, RJ Bell.
I'm going to give my omissions and such from the perfect date. Fez, though, real quick, here's my question. You had a take on the whole British Open, and since we just came off the update, let's throw it in, regarding how their cancellation versus the U.S. approach with the Masters.
Yeah, and I think you summarized this last week very well, that Britain is taking an ultra-conservative approach because they were criticized for not taking the COVID virus seriously enough, and now I think it's an overreaction. The pendulum has swung too far, in my opinion, in the other direction.
So the pendulum too far when it comes to, you're saying, British Open, it's a little premature to be canceling it.
Exactly.
Well, you know, I think in a way, and this is the case with people, this is the case with countries, the things that make you great in some cases are weaknesses. And vice versa. Sometimes your weaknesses can be a strength. And what I specifically mean about the U.S. is there is a frat boy mentality to this country in general, at least on the spectrum compared to other countries, meaning the way we exalt winners, the way that we lambast. I mean, what we did to Bill Buckner, for example, is something, you know, I'm not saying there's always stories about soccer players that get, you know, their hands cut off or whatever, but we're talking about, you know, dictators ruling from above. And but as a country, it feels like the U.S. takes a lot of stuff seriously that maybe a more intellectual approach would say we shouldn't. And I think in general, Jonas, I mean, you're in touch with the journalism side, or maybe it's better to say the media side at this point, because I think journalism in sports is a small segment. There's a lot of commentators. Yeah. Take artists, and then the journalists, it's a small group, right? And
yeah.
I mean, like a Don Van Natta, and are certainly that group, but it's a small group. So with the media, it strikes me that in general, if you take the 100 things the fans feel the strongest about in a given year, so 3 things a week, let's say, or let's say, let's think about this. Yeah, let's say 100 throughout the year. So about 8 a month. That the typical media guy is going to think that the public, the fans, are being too fanatical, fans fanatic, and they're going to poo-poo it, you know, Levitard style, where there's like, yeah, this, you know, and to me, he goes to the other extreme where he's poo-pooing, you know, a ton, really. And I think there's a lot of smart people might agree with most of it, if not all of it, from the Levitard perspective. And then you got the meat and potatoes media guys that usually are with the fans. But the average media guy is thinking the fans are a bunch of, you know, frat boys, really, or a bunch of, you know, they should read another book or two and shut up, is generally the media's perspective when it comes to the passions of the fans, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, they don't really, they think it's over the top. They sort of feed on it. You know, if you can say something about somebody's team, if you can tell them their team's going to go 7-9 instead of 9-7, you know, sometimes they may side towards that because they know the reaction will be better. So yeah, they definitely prey on that for sure.
Or if the SEC fires a coach that made a bowl game, but you could say, and the crowd's been wanting, you know, the fans have been wanting his head for a couple of years. You could say, you know, in this country, the education is more important and blah, 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 blah. Or you could say, hey, the reason the SEC is so freaking good at football is because they care so much. And when the guy goes 7-6, he's out.
Yeah.
And to me, as much as it's easy to take that dispassionate intellectual approach to it, I think so, this is not a dispassionate country. Sports matters. And in a weird way, is it a coincidence that we're the most powerful country in the world? I think there's something to, I think so many intellectuals are really just another word for, they used to be nerds, they used to get picked on. And listen, I was right in the middle, buddy. I was not a normal kid growing up. I mean, no doubt. In a coal mining town in Ohio, but I also understood I was in a coal mining town in Ohio, and I had to, you know, figure out some of that stuff. And to me, it wasn't all natural to get along and go along. But when you're 10 years old in that environment, what do you do? And I think in hindsight, I've gained some appreciation for that masculine, that alpha male perspective. People look at President Trump and say, oh, why isn't he wearing a mask? And you could say, yeah, it'd be a good thing. And you could envision Obama wearing the mask to show everyone. But then there's something about a guy that won't put that on because he thinks it looks goofy is got some strength. And you could say, no, it's false strength. And maybe it is. But we're all human beings. Right. And there's something about like a Michael Dukakis type in the tank with the hat that with, the, you know, that he just looks like a kid that's trying to play soldier. That visceral reaction, I think the fact that this country is in touch with it is one of the great things about the country. Then, though, obviously it goes too far for my liking sometimes. But the fact that most of the media guys, that the fans go too far almost always, kind of shows you maybe they're in the wrong business. If you're not like, and guys like, you know, historically that's come up like a Jim Rome, who is like, was a fan first, it seems like, they do very well in media, it seems like, because the fans relate to them. When you, and the guys who are too smart for the fans, they don't. The fans don't relate to them. Last word, Jonas.
Yeah, you just can't talk down to the audience. I mean, when people feel like they're being talked down to, or somebody is speaking from a place that gives off the aura of I'm above you and you're beneath me, I just most listeners will kind of tune out. They want to feel like they're part of the conversation, not on the outside of the velvet ropes while everybody's having a drink.
Well, but I mean, last thing, Jonas. I mean, Fezzik is right here. Do you have to talk about him condescending to the audience?
I mean, I'm a little startled at what he admitted to earlier when it came to that.
Listen,
the hike,
so. Do not be startled. It okay. Just keeps, it's a gift that keeps on coming. Steve Fezzik, Jonas Salk, I'm RJ Bell. We're going to take a last commercial. When we come back, yeah, you're going to get my snubs from the Big Perfect 8 and also odds on NBA 2K.
That's coming up next. He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox. This is the pregame show you've always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
I'm RJ Bell. We are straight out of Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of you, the fan. So, RJ, we've been talking about the NFL's all-decade team from the 2010s, and we've been talking about omissions or snubs. What are some of yours?
Yeah, and we're talking about the perfect eight, and I do think it's noteworthy. You look at the Ravens. They have an offensive guard on there and their kicker, two of the eight greats. Best eight in theory from the decade tells you how Baltimore builds their team. Usually it's the positions that people don't focus as much on. The average fan, Baltimore, a lot of success, won Super Bowl during the decade. I think Luke Kuechly probably omitted from the perfect eight unfairly. I mean, one, he's the epitome of football in a way, his toughness, and you know, he's like a old Bears linebacker type. But it felt like there was a ton of consistency. And though for as many concussions and stuff, he, you know, it didn't seem like the games missed would have been the issue. So I like Kuechly more so to be on the perfect eight. And I also think Fitzgerald from Arizona. I mean, think about it. That Super Bowl, you know, was the, you know, I guess in a way the pinnacle for him, and that was outside the decade. But,
Yeah. Man,
I mean, I know the last couple of years he hasn't been as good as the best, but, I mean, if you really think of consistency, I mean, could he be the best receiver of the deck? I mean, if you really think about it, I think it's a reasonable debate.
Yeah, that's the one that I also would have argued maybe should have been unanimous, just based on the fact that midway through his career, or actually later on in his career, he switched positions. He went to a slot receiver, which is completely different from what he had played throughout his entire career, college and the NFL, and he continues to put up huge numbers.
So tomorrow we'll talk about Drew Brees. That deserves its own segment, I think, because it's an interesting debate. Him and Aaron Rodgers, it's the ultimate debate. And we'll also look at their stats, because I think their stats really tell a story about a trend line on Aaron Rodgers that people don't realize down. And Also, Breeze not going down like people think. That's going to be very interesting, but I promised it. Here's the odds on the NBA 2K. Right now, the favorite, Patrick Beverley, plus 225 to win it all. Devin Booker, second favorite. Derek Jones Jr., third, plus 450. Trae Young, only top four seed, I think, to advance, plus 500. And then A-Y-T-O-N, Anton? DeAndre Ayton, I guess.
Ayton. Yeah.
See, I'm not a professional like you, Jonas. He's at the back at 7-1. By the way, quickly, anyone that played Milwaukee. So think about this a second. All those players that could have picked the teams. Four times Milwaukee got picked to be played. 4-0 straight up. Won every game by double digits. A little trend for NBA 2K.
The Odd Couple is next on many of these Fox Sports Radio affiliates. We are straight out of Vegas. We will be back tomorrow, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 o'clock Pacific, right here on Fox Sports Radio. And as always, you can find the show on the iHeart Radio app.
Straight out of Vegas!